Granby's Green Acres. Show me a man who has spent his entire life living and working in the city, and I'll show you a man who would give it all up at the drop of a hat to buy a farm. Take John Granby, for instance.
Martha, a farm would be good for all of us, especially Janice. I don't like the idea of our daughter staying out till after 12 every night.
Well, John, where could our daughter entertain her friends on a farm?
On the front porch. That's where I courted you, remember?
Mm-hmm. You always used to bring along your mandolin and play it.
Yeah, I had to. That's the only way your father would leave us alone. He figured as long as he could hear the mandolin, everything was under control.
But you fooled him, didn't you?
Yeah. He didn't know I could play Dardanella with my toes.
Yes, it's Granby's Green Acres, starring Gail Gordon, Bea Benaderet, Louise Erickson, Polly Bayer, Horace Murphy, and Rye Billsbury, with music composed and conducted by Opie Cates. And now, Mr. Granby breaks down. It's early evening in Doveville, the hour when the farm chores are done, and farmers are relaxing a moment before sitting down to supper. This is the picture we see in the living room of the farmhouse of Granby's Green Acres, with one exception. Mr. Granby is anything but relaxed.
John, will you stop pacing up and down?
I can't help it, Martha. I'm nervous.
Relax.
I can't. This farm is getting me down. My nerves are on edge.
Sit down.
They're like coiled springs.
John, sit down.
All right. Huh? Martha, I'm unsprung.
That's the broken spring in the sofa. You were going to fix it, remember?
When I get the time, I will. Martha, give me a cigarette.
Cigarette? Mm-hmm. Well, you just got through lighting 4 cigarettes, one after the other.
Well, what about it?
They're still in your mouth.
Those are my fingers. I'm biting my nail. I think I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. I can't stand the pressure of this farm work.
John, it's obvious that all you need is a rest.
Rest? Rest? I haven't been able to sleep in 3 nights, tossing and turning. First on my left side, then on my back, then on my stomach, then on my right side, then on my back, then on my left side. On a good night, I can make 200 revolutions an hour. I'm telling you, Martha, it's
dinner's getting ready.
Janice, do you have to shout?
Shout? All I said was dinner is ready.
There you go again. I will not have people coming in and yelling at me. I will not tolerate any shouting.
Dad, what is the matter with you?
What's the matter with me? It's this farm.
Look, dear. Hmm? A good night's sleep will fix you up. Why don't you eat some dinner and then go right up to bed? Come on. Come into the dining room. There. Janice, hand me your father's soup plate and I'll serve him.
Here you are, Mother.
Martha, must you make all that racket?
Racket? All I did was barely scrape the ladle on the bottom of the bowl.
Well, with my nerves, the slightest noise is magnified 1,000,000 times. Now, may we please eat dinner in utter and complete silence.
All right, dear, all right.
Martha, can't you eat your soup quietly?
I dipped my spoon into the soup without a sound.
You made the noodles bang against each other. Now, will you please be quiet?
Dad, you'd better put your fingers in your ears.
Why should I put my fingers in my ears?
I'm going to sprinkle some salt on my meat.
Janice,
John,
I don't...
John, relax and let's eat.
All right.
Oh, the toast is a little burnt. May I scrape it?
Are you trying to drive me out of my mind? Why, just the thought of toast being scraped gives me goose pimples.
Dad, what happens if you think of a goose being scraped? Do you get toast pimples?
Janice, I will not stand for any impertinence. What's that?
What's what?
That dripping noise.
I don't hear anything dripping. Do you, Janice?
No.
Well, I do. Listen. Drip, 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 drip.
Oh. Oh, that's what's doing it.
What?
The butter is melting on your string bean. This place is just like a boiler factory. These noises.
What was that?
I didn't hear anything.
I think the neighbor's dog knocked over the ash can again.
Janice, what's wrong with you? Are you hearing things?
John, you mean
please,
that you
please,
didn't...
Please, let's have some quiet. Martha, I asked you for quiet.
What's wrong now?
A green pea just fell into your mashed potato.
But I didn't...
Oh, what's the use? I'm going up and try and get some sleep.
Mother, do you think he's upstairs by now?
Why?
I'm dying to eat a piece of celery.
I think it's safe. Go ahead, Janice.
Who's breaking up those orange crates?
Are you comfortable, John?
I'm fine.
Do you want another blanket?
No, just put out the light and close the door.
All right. And, John, try to sleep. Don't lie there thinking. Good night.
Good night. Martha's right. I shouldn't lie here and think. That's probably why I haven't been sleeping. Tonight I won't think. I'll make my mind a blank. That's it, a complete blank. Blank. That reminds me. Am I supposed to fill out the blank for the tax assessor and take it over to the county seat? Seat. Seat. Oh, yes, that reminds me. I have to get a new seat for the tractor. It's sagging in the middle. That reminds me. I wonder how Martha's mother is. How'd I happen to think about Martha's mother? Let's see, I was thinking about a seat for the tractor, a county seat, filling out a blank for the tax assessor. Oh, yeah, that's it, the tax assessor. That big, fat, loud-mouthed know-it-all. It reminds me, I wonder how Martha's sister is. Oh, I've got to get some sleep. Got to... Oh, that darn clock. Cut that out. Quiet.
Shut up!
Well, now maybe I can get some sleep. Oh, for the love of Pete. I'll shove the clock under the pillow here. That's better. Maybe I can fall asleep if I lie on my back. Back? That reminds me, I'd better send back that butter churn. It hasn't worked in months. Reminds me, I wonder how Martha's father is. Oh, I've just got to put all these thoughts out of my mind.
Yeah, I'm beginning to feel drowsy.
What's that? Quiet. Go away. Get away from that window. You know, I'll fix that bird. Where's my slipper? For the last time, are you going to get away from that window? Okay, you asked for it. That did it. Peace at last. Ah, got rid of the bird. I wonder where he went.
Meow.
Oh, no. That poor bird. Oh, well. I'll try and get some sleep. Now what? Something's dripping. I'll ignore it. I won't let it bother me. I'll pretend there is no drip. Drip? That reminds me, I wonder how Martha's brother is. Well, I think this time I'm really going to fall.
Oh! Wake up, you sleepyhead. It's 5 o'clock.
Mr. Granby?
Oh, good morning, Ab. Did you see a slipper lying around here?
Slipper?
Yeah.
Was it a leather slipper with fleece lining?
Yeah.
You know, come to think of it, I saw a cat dragging it under the porch a little while ago.
Oh? Well, get it.
Okay, but I don't think you'd want to wear it.
Why not?
It's got four kittens in it.
Four kittens?
Five.
Well, of all the things that happened,
Mr. Granby, you sure are in a grumpy humor this morning.
I can't help it. I haven't had any sleep, and I don't know how long.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Eb, how long can a person go without sleep?
Well, when my brother-in-law was in the Navy, he once went 6 whole days without closing his eyes.
6 days?
Yeah. Of course, he slept fine at night.
Eb, I'm in no mood for jokes. If I could only get some sleep. I'm a sick man.
Well, if you're sick, why don't you send for a doctor?
Well, is there a good one in Doveville?
One of the best. Doc Pearson. Just about saved my life. I woke up one night and I couldn't walk.
Oh, why not?
I was still in bed.
Oh, Eb,
I was a sick man. I was strangling. I couldn't breathe, and my face was turning blue. Joe Pearson got there just in the nick of time.
Oh, what did the doctor do?
Cut the string on my pajamas.
Eb, are you trying
to
make it...
He had to get to my appendix. Operated on me on the kitchen table. The doc only had 15 minutes to get me off the table.
Oh, it must have been a real emergency.
Yeah, I was holding up dinner. Say, Mr. Granby, why don't you let me get Doc Pearson out here to take a look at you?
It sounds like a good idea. I think I need some...
Dad, I'm driving into town. You want anything?
Yes, take Eb in with you. He's going into the doctor.
Hop in, Eb. What are you going to the doctor for, Eb?
For your father. Going to have Joe Pearson come out and take a look at him.
Is he a good doctor?
Oh, Joe ain't a he. He's a she. Joe's short for Josephine.
Eb, does Dad know?
Well, no, I didn't think to tell him.
A woman doctor? Oh, brother, this is really going to make Pop blow his top.
We'll return to Granby's Green Acres in a moment, but first, every Tuesday night, CBS brings you one of the brightest and best of the comedy shows, Life with Luigi. You'll enjoy life with the little Italian immigrant who finds American customs baffling and enchanting, and who is apt to know more about his adopted country than most of its citizens. CBS cordially invites you to laugh through Life with Luigi every Tuesday night on most of these same stations. Now back to Granby's Green Acres.
I'm lying down on the couch.
Well, I'm busy in the kitchen.
Oh, all right. Coming.
Mr. Granby?
Yes?
Take off your clothes.
What?
Come. I haven't got all day. Take them off.
Martha! Help!
What's the matter? What's wrong?
Well, this woman. She wanted me, and I was... She was... Ooh!
John, stop.
Are you Mrs. Granby?
Yes.
I'm Dr. Pearson.
You're a doctor?
Yes. Don't let this Chesterfield I'm smoking fool you. Come on now. What's wrong with you?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, John, stop being silly. What difference does it make whether a doctor's a woman or a man?
Well, she'll... Then I'll have... And then she'll... I just don't like the idea.
Mr. Granby, I'm very busy. I've got a lot of sick patients.
Martha, get me somebody else.
Why?
I don't want any doctor whose patients are all sick.
John, you're acting like a baby.
All men are babies. And Mrs. Granby, tell me, what seems to be the trouble with it?
It? Doctor, if you're diagnosing my case, what are you asking her for?
Because you men always exaggerate your symptoms. You can't stand anything. Someday I'm going to write a book about my practice. They say women are the weaker sex. I'd like to see a man have a baby.
That would make a very interesting chapter.
No, let's look you over. Let me listen to your heart.
How is it?
Be thankful. It's beating.
Look, I think...
Now, let's look at your chest cavity.
Now, look, I don't have
now
any...
Now, don't run away. I'm just going to tap on your chest.
Please? That's so hard. And let go of my wrist.
Pulse seems all right. Stick out your tongue. Further. Tongue's okay. Now, all right, you can put it back in your mouth.
What happened? Did I swallow it?
John, the window shade rolled up. I asked you to fix it.
Well, who's got time? I get up every morning, milk the cow, feed the chickens, water the horse.
Mr. Granby, I'm going to write you out a prescription.
Oh, doctor, while you're doing that, I'd like to pay you. What is your fee?
$5.
Well, I'll get my purse.
Doctor, what's wrong with me?
Not a thing. This farm is too much for a city man like you. That's the trouble with you city men. You give up soft jobs because you think farming is easy, and the moment you find out it's hard work, you imagine you're sick.
I don't imagine. I am.
I don't imagine you are either. Here, get Will Kimball to fill this prescription for you.
Oh, here's the money, Doctor. Oh,
thank you very much, thank Mrs. you. Granby. Well, I've got a lot of calls to make.
Just a moment, Doctor. I want to ask you something. How did you know I was from the city and not from around here in Doveville?
That's very easy for a country doctor. When I told you what my fee was, you paid it right away.
Mr. Kimball?
Oh, howdy, Mr. Granby.
Mr. Kimball, I've got a prescription here, and I'd
sick, huh? Say, I hope you won't have to go to the hospital.
No, I just want to get this prescription.
You know, I had to go to a hospital once. Yeah, I ate something that didn't agree with me.
Oh, that's too bad.
That's the last time I eat in that hospital.
Mr. Kimball, I've got to get this prescription filled. Can you do it?
Yes, sir. That there is my state license up there on the wall. Oh. That there makes me a qualified druggist. Entitles me to peddle pills, fill prescriptions, and make tuna fish sandwiches.
Can you fill my prescription?
Oh, sure. I've been at this here drug business a long time. Mixed my first formulary back in 1890.
1890?
Yeah, it was French dressing.
Please, Mr. Kimball.
Never forget 1890. That there's year Sunday fell on Saturday.
Sunday fell on Saturday?
Yep. Joe Sunday. Fell on Saturday, coming out in the saloon.
Mr. Kimball, the prescription. I'm sick, tired, run down.
Maybe what you need is some of this here iron tonic. Guaranteed to fill your blood with iron.
I don't want my blood filled with iron.
Well, it's a good deal. With a big bottle of iron tonic, you get this here little bottle absolutely free.
What's the little bottle for?
That's to prevent rust.
Just fill the prescription?
Okay, let me have it. You know, I mixed my first formulary back in 1890. It was...
Mr. Kimball, you told me about that.
I know. I got a memory like an elephant. Folks around here called me Taboo.
Taboo? I think you mean Sabu. He's the one who's usually associated with elephants.
Well, anyone who's associated with elephants needs Taboo.
Mr. Kimball, here's the prescription.
Yeah. Oh, say, the chair is one of Doc Pearson's.
Yes, would you please make it up?
Don't have to. Got it already mixed and bottled. Doc Pearson always prescribed this urine for her men patients. Yeah, here you are.
Oh, thank you. Say, have you got a spoon? I'd like to take some now. I'm beginning to feel a little faint.
Yeah, sure. I'll pour some out for you. Now, here. Swallow it.
Thanks.
How do you feel?
Well, I think I'm beginning to feel better. Yes, I am. I feel stronger already. Say, that Dr. Pearson's all right. She knew what I needed. What is in this medicine here?
Sugar and water.
Sugar and water, imagine that.
John, if the doctor thought you needed any real medicine, she would have given it to you.
But what does she know? Martha, I'm sick. That's the reason I can't sleep. My mind's made up. I'm going into the city today and find a specialist.
But
don't argue with me. Janice, is breakfast ready yet?
In a minute. The waffle iron's heating up.
Well, hurry. I've only got 20 minutes to catch the bus.
I'll bring you a cup of coffee while you're waiting.
Mm-hmm. I wonder who that is.
Hank Stafford.
How do you know?
Every time we're ready to sit down to a meal, he shows up.
It is Hank. I'll let him in.
Martha, quick, my waffle before he sees it.
John, it hasn't been cooked yet.
Then bring me the batter and a straw. Got to have some nourishment.
John, you act as if Henry deliberately drops in to eat here. Don't forget, he's the county agent and he visits a lot of farmers.
But not at mealtime.
Well, he comes here because of Janice. You know that he likes her,
good
and
morning,
she's certain.
Janice.
Good morning, Hank.
Morning, Mrs. Granby.
Good morning, Henry.
Morning, Mr. Granby.
I'm listening in bed.
Oh, what a day. Isn't it great to be alive?
Are you?
Did you have breakfast yet, Hank?
Oh, sure, early this morning.
Well, sit down, drink a cup of coffee, and keep Mr. Granby company while he eats. He has to catch the bus to the city. I'll see if the waffle iron's hot enough yet.
I'll get you a cup of coffee, Hank. You and Dad chat a while.
Thanks. Well? Yes? Well?
Young man, you have a very limited vocabulary.
Well,
he should drop in one.
So you're going to the city, Mr. Granby?
Yes, I am.
Business?
No.
Visiting?
No.
Pleasure trip?
No.
Of course, it's none of my business.
I thought you'd catch on sooner or later. Oh, thank you, dear. Thank
you. You're sure you don't want one, Henry?
No, thanks.
Pass the syrup, Hank.
Yes, sir. Here you... Say, give me that waffle, Mr. Granville.
I will not.
I don't want to eat it. I just want to fix it for you.
I can fix it myself. Pass the syrup.
Not like I can fix them.
No, thanks. Pass the syrup.
But I learned a great way to fix them in the Army.
Pass the syrup.
John, let him fix the waffle for you.
But Martha...
Go ahead, John.
Well, of all... Here.
Thanks, Mr. Granby, would you mind letting go of the plate?
I just want to be sure I get it back.
Don't worry, you will. Now, watch me. First, I pour the syrup on.
I always put the butter on first.
Oh, that's where you're wrong. The syrup should go on first.
I like the butter first.
It doesn't taste as good.
I like it.
But this is the way we did it in the Army.
Then why don't you re-enlist?
Mr. Granby, let me finish and then you try it. Now, first the syrup.
May I have my waffle?
Now the butter.
My waffle, please.
More syrup.
My waffle.
And a tiny bit more butter there. Now, doesn't that waffle look good?
I can't see it through the tears in my eyes.
Well, will you taste it? Boy, I wish I was eating this.
Henry, why don't you?
Martha!
I'll fix you another one, John. Janice, put another waffle on.
All right, Mom.
Go ahead and eat it, Henry, before it gets cold.
But what about Mr. Granby? Won't he miss his bus?
Oh, no, he's got plenty of time before he has to go. Haven't you, John?
Oh, sure. I've got plenty of time before I have to go. If I don't get something to eat, I'll go before my time. I'm a sick man. I don't know
why.
Boy, this guy.
This waffle really tastes good.
Oh, Henry, it does my heart good to see you eat. I wish Mr. Granby had your appetite.
What good would it do? He's got my food. I never saw
he
a man.
He never eats the way you do.
Naturally, I've got good manners.
Mr. Granby hasn't been feeling well lately.
Yes, I noticed. He looked a little peaked, but I didn't want to say anything.
How could he? He's always got his mouth full of food.
Going into the city today to see a nerve specialist.
Oh, he doesn't have to do that. We've got a good doctor in Doveville, Doc Pearson. She's the one that brought me into the world.
Maybe I can make a deal with her to take him out again.
something up. Who gets it?
I do.
How was the first one?
As far as I'm concerned, this is the first one.
Oh. Well, the second one is usually better, John. By that time, the iron is good and hot.
Yeah, that's right. The one I just finished was a little soggy.
Good. Maybe you'll get indigestion. You serve him right.
Henry, you should have told me. Here, try this one.
What about Mr. Granby?
Oh, he doesn't mind.
But, Martha, what do you...
John, you've got plenty of time to catch your bus.
But I'm hungry.
Janice will make you another waffle.
Mother, I can't. Hank got the last of the batter.
Last of the batter? How do you like that? I was struck out by a foul ball.
Have the rest of this one, Mr. Granby.
No, thanks.
Dad, I've got some eggs in the stove that I was making for Mother and me. I'll bring them right in.
Would you like some eggs, Henry?
Oh, no, thanks. I don't want to make a pig of myself.
Why stop now?
Hank, please excuse Mr. Granby. He hasn't slept in I don't know when. The farm is getting him down. Hmm.
Here are your eggs, Dad.
Oh, boy, they look good.
Yes.
No, you don't!
Give me those. At last, some food. Pass the salt, Martha.
Here.
And the pepper.
Here.
Now to enjoy my eggs. Boy,
Dad,
I can really put my teeth
in. You've got 10 minutes to make the bus.
But my eggs, my
eggs. Well, never mind the
eggs. But, Martha, it's a shame to let them go to waste.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Granby. They won't go to waste.
You're darn right they won't. Martha, give me a piece of toast. I'll eat them in the bus.
Mr. Granby, you don't have to go to the city and see a doctor. It's perfectly obvious what's wrong with you.
What?
You eat too much.
Well, Dr. Conried, what's the verdict?
Mr. Granby, my examination of you shows several things.
Several things?
Yes, one thing puzzles me. You seem to be suffering from malnutrition. Don't you get enough to eat?
Not when I eat at home, no. What else is wrong, Doctor?
Well, your heart, your liver, your lungs are all right.
Oh, that's good news, but why can't I sleep?
Well, since you have never been my patient before, I know very little about you, but the trouble seems to be more mental than physical. Tell me, what was your occupation for the past 20 years?
Well, now, let me see. I started working in the City National Bank when I was 22.
Mm-hmm.
I ran a comptometer for 6 years. Then I was promoted to assistant teller.
I see.
8 years later, I was made assistant cashier.
Mr. Granby, you don't have to tell me anything more. I know exactly what is wrong with you.
What?
You need an occupational readjustment.
An occupational readjustment?
Yes, you should get out of the city and buy yourself a farm.
Doctor?
Yes?
I'm going to kill you.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight ends the current series of Granby's Green Acres. Before we leave you, though, here is John Granby with a word.
We've enjoyed spending these summer weeks with you, and now I wonder if you'd do Martha and Janice and me a favor. Sit down and write us a postcard or a note telling us how you like our show. Just write to Granby's Green Acres, care of your local CBS station. They'll forward it to us. Don't forget to write to us, and good night.
Good night, good night everybody. Everybody.
You have just heard Granby's Green Acres, starring Gail Gordon, V. Benaderet, Louise Erickson, Parley Bayer, Rye Billsbury, Horace Murphy, and Gail Bonney. Granby's Green Acres was written by Jay Sommers and Jack Harvey and was directed by Jay Sommers. The assistant director was Bob Shue. Sound effects were by Billy Gould and Ray Erlenborn. Engineer was Pat Walsh. Music was composed and conducted by Opie Cates. This is Bob Luman speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.